Morning. Comes out of the book of Proverbs, verse 18, chapter 18, verses 6 and verse 21. Let me preface this message this morning by telling you that I had about half of my study done for this morning's message. It was totally different than the title we have. And while I was going through this, I was struggling with it. And this title, these words came to me over and over and over again. So finally, I had determined that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. He didn't want me to give the message that I wanted to give. But he wanted me to give this message called The Power of Verbiage. And I think that he wanted this message given to speak to me, but also to everybody, but primarily to me. So I'm going to give this message with that information that you have at hand. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. And over to verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This is the word of God for the people of God. So this morning, I want to say to you that words are important. Matter of fact, words are so important that we need to handle them with care whenever we are talking. We should be able to share knowledge and experience and information through our words, if not our words fall short of their intended purpose. We have to make our mouths a servant of our minds. The ignorance of our influence has told us that we don't need to learn how to communicate or how to develop our vocabulary, or how to pronounce our words correctly, or learn to convey the thoughts that are in our minds through words of our mouth, that in ways that are clear and easy to understand, but we must do these things. We have to understand and experience how words can move people in a negative or a positive fashion. Words are conveyors of hope. Words can be conveyors of courage. And words can portray wisdom. Words are so powerful that they can literally shift a person's life to the greater good or bad. It will be for the good when they are well chosen. The words are well chosen. If the words are thought of before given, and if you ask them words to be guided by the Holy Spirit, the result will be the greater good. The words we speak have power. They can build people up like a spring cathedral, or they can tear people down to a pile of humble rubble. Words inspire, but words destroy also. What have words done to this house where we worship? What have words done to the people that we worship with? It's a fact that the person we say we know and love is shaped by what we say and do. When people finish a conversation with you or me, do they look like fine pottery in the process of being molded by the words that I gave? Even when they're given with love and care? Or when people finish a conversation, do they look like stone, having a chipped away heart by negative, sharper, angry words? If the answer does not satisfy us, then we must change how we speak to people. Statistics have found that the literal meaning of words account for 7% of our face-to-face communication or overall message. The total quality of voice accounts for 38% of our face-to-face communication. Body language accounts for 55% of our face-to-face communication. What if I suggested that the reason why words carry so much power is because it speaks to whom we aim it at? Some words and how they are presented can suggest that the end is unpleasant and doomed, and that person is beyond hope or the situation. Even if the intent was good, the words can still end up being unpleasant. Many people feel doomed or hurt or broken because the people who were supposed to love them unknowingly sent out toxic puddles of contaminated water. Even when it wasn't meant to be that way, through the words that we choose, through the body language that we portray, through the tone of our voice, can result in puddles of contaminated water. So we have to be careful with what we say. We have to consider that blessings and curses are in the power of our tongues. With the words of our mouths, we can impart greatness or smallness in someone else's life. And with them words, we can fan the flame of a dream, or we can snuff it out. So like I said earlier, I wrote this message to me. And I have to ask you, what have my words done to this place we worship? What have my words done to the people we worship with? The words I'm talking about are my words. I like to refer to Scripture for our actions or directions or instructions. And I want to bring us to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own words, by his own lips. I have never intended to hurt anyone, but I have. And the people that were hurt the most aren't here this morning. I wish they were. But having given this message and having said what I've said, I apologize for them words. And then I refer you to Proverbs verse 28, chapter 28, verse 13, where it says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." This morning, I humbly and sincerely ask for your forgiveness. I'm sorry. I'm truly, truly sorry. We go to our closing hymn.